This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Australia. You're listening to Purple Speech on Joy 94.9. I've got my place there for a second. Michael James here with John P. Wintle and Chris O.
Hello, hello, hello.
Catch up already.
It's only been like 6 months. You think I'd have had this
down pat
by now, yeah. But no, still learning. It is Melbourne Cup Eve for those in Melbourne. We want to know what you're doing if you're going to Melbourne Cup tomorrow. If you're celebrating it from anywhere in Australia, let us know on air at joy.org.au. You can't call us today, but you can text us on 0427-JOY949. What are you doing for Melbourne Cup tomorrow? Guys, what are you doing?
I'm actually going to the Cup for the first time.
Oh, you are?
Since living in Melbourne. Yeah, so I went and bought a brand new shirt.
I've never been, so.
Oh, really? Oh, well, I'll let you know how it is.
Okay, cool. John?
Yeah, look, I'm not so much into the horses. I'm just not a horse, a pony guy, if you know what I mean. So,
look, no, wait, you're a horse. wait, you're a horse guy, but you're not a pony guy. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, my mistake.
Cool. Just wanted to clear that for our listeners.
Oh, I need 3 minutes.
You've tuned into a fantastic show. Of course, we are looking at all things Melbourne Cup tomorrow in regards to the fashion. We're going to be looking at what to wear and what not to wear to Melbourne's fashion for male and females. But we're also looking at I'm going to use the term fag hags here. We are looking at female support systems and also looking at male support systems for the LGBT community. I say fag hags because that's stereotypically what it's known in within the community. Of course, there are, you know, right and wrong terms to be using here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also fag stag, which a lot of people may not be aware of.
I'd never heard of that before until
which
today.
Which is the male version of, again, the stereotype fag hag. So we're going to look at some much detail with that today, tonight, and looking at where it all started from and where it all has gone.
Yeah, and look, if you want to share something with us here on the Purple Speech team, you can contact us also on Facebook, Michael.
They can.
Facebook.com/Purple Speech.
So we're going to be looking at that, but before we go any further, got a little confession to make, guys.
Oh, gosh, here we go.
It's not that I'm too fat in my shirt again, is it, Michael?
Well, I didn't want to say anything, but...
No, I am feeling a little naked, though.
Oh.
And a little raw.
Hang on. This is radio, Michael. You need to be more specific. People can't see.
Well, I believe Chris can explain it better because your last video, Chris, was naked and raw.
Yeah. I had a bit of an emotional week over the past, I guess, week and a half, so almost 2 weeks. And I did one of the first videos on YouTube where I kind of couldn't edit it. Like, I watched the first 10, 15 seconds of it, and I had to... I couldn't edit it, so I just...
So when you say you couldn't edit it, is that in regards to...
It was very confronting about what I was talking about.
Yeah.
So I guess, because up until recently, I haven't been writing in my blog, so I've kind of let that go a little bit. So that was my outlet to get that kind of stuff off my chest and out of the way. So this time, you know, it was a video. It was me. It was totally, like... just myself, and I was literally having a conversation with the camera. So it was one of those moments that it was very surreal. I had a very I'm going to sound stupid when I say it, but I had an out of body experience per se, where it was I was just talking.
Was it very I can't say the word.
Therapeutic. It really was. And I've had an overwhelming response from it. And it was just basically about, you know, insecurities. And I went on a date for the first time in a very long time. And it brought up a lot of old insecurities that I had that I thought were gone. And they're not. So it was just very, very, very strange.
Are you a frequent dater? It sounds like this might be a new thing for you.
Oh, no. I haven't dated in a very long time. I think my last date was about 3 years ago.
So when you date, like, was there like a ritual to kind of get you into the date or what?
I was just very nervous. Like, the day leading up to it was kind of blurry. Like, I'd been speaking to this guy for about 3 weeks via text. Okay. and Grindr. Don't judge me. and yeah, it was one of those things that I finally was like, you know what? Stop making up excuses and just do it. Get out of your comfort zone. Because I've gotten myself into this niche where I won't.
Do you regret doing the video?
No, I don't. I regret talking about the date per se because it, yeah, it hasn't ended that great.
Did such date watch video?
I have no idea because they blocked me from all social media and haven't responded.
Oh,
so,
awkward.
Well, if they're listening in tonight, what message would you like to give them?
As I said, the adult response would be to send somebody a text message and let them know that you're not interested. Just a thought.
Just putting it out there.
But it's again, it's one of those things that I think everybody needs to do it. You know, film yourself, write something down.
I think that would be very hard, though, to film yourself and have a conversation to the camera. Especially, I mean, you do it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. But for someone who's never done it, what advice could you give them?
Be honest. Like, nobody else is going to watch that unless you post it on some kind of social media outlet. So it's one of those things that... use it. Like, you're the only one that's going to see it. Be 100% honest and say things that may not be politically correct, or, you know, may be some of your deepest, darkest secrets. Because unless you opt to share it to somebody, you're the only one that's going to benefit from it at the end of the day. And I've benefited from, you know, that doing that video and from not editing it, because I think finally people are seeing me.
Definitely. And I think, of course, if you don't want to do a video, you can always call Lifeline at 13 11 14 and speak to a trained counsellor. And as always, in an emergency, make sure you call 000. Yes.
And, of course, if you wouldn't like to do any of those options, you can also send us a message.
How can they do that, John?
I was just going to say, 0427-JOY949. Or they can Facebook message us, facebook.com/purplespeech.
Definitely. Or email us on air@joy.org.au. Will you take a breath there, John? We've got a few topics that we put out to you. If you're going to the Melbourne Cup or are celebrating it tomorrow, let us know. But if you've got, I'm going to say the word again, fag hag or a fag a stag, if you've got a male, straight male support system, let us know how they've supported you and how they've been there for you. We are going to go into much more detail later in tonight's show, but we've got a guest live in the studio, John, don't we?
Yeah, coming up in our next segment, around about 8:15, we can speak to the lovely Ms. Rosemary Hamilton.
Very excited.
Yay!
Who is a lifelong friend of mine, and she is...
A fag hag for you?
I would probably... she'd probably be more accurately described... as probably me being a fag bangle, I think would be more accurate.
For our listeners, explain that one.
I'm more so her accessory than the other way around, okay. If you know what I mean.
No,
I'm more hang off her than her hang off me. But yes, so
that's, moving right along.
Hold on to your seats, guys. That's coming
it's
up.
It's going to be a great show
eight.
Tonight. Christy, have you got one?
I've got two very, very dear, very, very dear friends. Catherine, who I've spoken about in my numerous videos, and of course, girl Sammy, who I film a lot of my videos with. So they're two girls that essentially just there whenever you need them to talk about anything. So
I don't know, though. That Sammy girl, she's a bit shifty. So I've been watching your videos.
She cheats.
She cheats. I know. She cheats.
She cheats.
Like, I watched her in the last challenge on your video on Sunday, mm-hmm. and she cheated again.
Look, she cheats, but she's a great support for you, isn't she?
It is. She is. And it's one of those... Sorry. If you're listening, Sammy. Babe, I'm really, really sorry. I didn't mean to call you an it.
Oh, yes. The phones are on fire now.
The phones are actually going off.
But it's just it's one of those things that I think that, you know, they're both very good support systems. We've both been through... All three of us have been through very different things in our lives, and the two of them don't necessarily connect, which I find a lot with a lot of fag hags. They're not always the closest with your other fag hags. So,
okay.
That is very true.
Yeah. They're quite territorial.
It's like you don't mix pharmacists. No?
Hang on, say that again.
What?
That just leapt out of your mouth,
it's
Michael.
It's like, you know, I'm using a quote from Karen Walk from Will and Grace. It's like, don't let the other pharmacists know about each other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
All right, I understand now.
But yeah. No, it's very true. I mean, you know, they know each other. They're very polite when they see each other, but they're not close. And you would think that, you know, sometimes I used to wonder, you know, maybe they didn't like each other. And it's not that they have an issue with each other at all. It's just that they're from two very different areas of my life. And it's the same with friends. I mean, everybody's got separate friends.
Definitely. We're going to go into much more detail soon. You are listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello there, funny lady Judith Lucy. And of course, you're listening to Joy 94.9. Well, you'd be just plain f***ed in the head if you listened to anything else.
And you'd be just plain excited to listen to this awesome segment that I'm bringing to you right now. Listening just there was, of
smooth,
course...
John, smooth.
I know, right? Listening, the track right there was Landslide by the wonderful Stevie Nicks, supported by the Melbourne Symphonic Orchestra 2006. And this is my lead-in to one of introducing one of my most favourite and brilliant people in the whole world, Rosemary Hamilton, who's a producer and publicist who's worked with many big-ticket industry names. She's a bit of a celebrity, guys. Her career is bordered through many international destinations such as Hong Kong and the United Kingdom. Rosemary has made Australia home and lately has made Melbourne her secret destination. Welcome to the lovely and ever-enduring Rosemary Hamilton.
Hello, John.
Oh, Rosemary.
I feel like there should be an applause.
Now, of course, Rosemary Hamilton is one of my favourite people in the whole world. She is also my... Well, I am her fag bangle, I should say. And I have summoned her into the studio this evening as I would like to learn a little bit more about her. So I've selected some very good questions to ask her tonight. So first of all, Rosemary, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much.
Very good to have you here.
It's very nice to be here and to be acknowledged as your fag bangle. I've waited a long time for that.
So
it's an honour.
I know.
Oh, goodness, this is getting out of control already. I just knew this was going to happen. So, Rosemary, tell me about what it was like when you were growing up. Did you know any people who were GLBTIQ, gay or lesbian or otherwise?
Well, I mean, look, statistically, I'm going to go with yes, but I didn't know that I knew any gay people till I was 20.
Okay. So
I mean, I was at a school which was co-ed, it's boys and girls together, 250 people every year. And I did not knowingly know a gay. There was nobody openly gay at my school.
Okay. And tell me about the school that you went to at the time. Like, what was, where was this school, I guess,
so
first
I
of all?
So I went to school in the south of England. It was a very progressive, middle-class school, quite arty. So it's not like, you know, we were somewhere where people would be afraid to say they were gay. But people just weren't, I mean, this is, we're talking about the 80s. Oh. People just weren't openly gay. I mean, there's, funnily enough, someone who's one of my best friends, he came out when he was about 27. He was staying with me in Hong Kong and he actually came out then and said that he was gay, but he hadn't been able to say that when we were at school.
Oh, okay. And why do you think that was?
I mean, I don't remember there being any negativity from grown-ups about people being gay in the 80s, but I still think at school there is no way that you would have said that you were gay.
Okay. As in because...
You just would have got massacred.
Okay. So there was a lot of bullying maybe at schools.
Yeah, definitely.
Schools,
like, I mean, the only time I ever heard anybody called gay, it was a pejorative term.
Okay. A pejorative. That's a word that I don't think I know what it means.
Well, I hope I used it right then.
I think that just proves, too, that kids are kids. Like, no matter how progressive we move and how much we move forward, there will always be that nasty kid at school.
Well, and this is only... I mean, I'm 40.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, no.
I just need to...
That's right.
You might have to edit that out.
When we go, yeah.
But, you know, so I'm not 100 years old, but, you know, the shift in how people... The freedom there is now for people to say that they're gay or they're not gay or they're trying something different. You know, I've got a godson who's 21 and he's been in male relationships, female relationships, and it's just not a big deal. And it really was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So do you think that how do you think things have gotten better? Do you think, you know, those mean kids from the 80s, do you think parents have done something nowadays to bring their kids up differently? Or?
Well, with everything, I just think it's about seeing things for yourself. Like, if you know a gay person or if you know a Muslim or if you know somebody that's supposedly got all these traits attributed to them, the minute you actually know somebody – that is really one of those things, you realise that all the stories are nonsense.
Yep. Yes.
You know, like just knowing real people. I went back then in the 90s when I was at university. I went to University of Manchester, very, very, very poor city. And in my first year, I taught in a local high school, which was not like my local high school. There was actually metal detectors to check people for weapons on the way in.
Okay.
And they had 93% of the children were they were from other countries. And the reason that they wanted people from university to go in and teach was not because we were any good, but just so these kids would know somebody who'd gone to university, because most of the kids didn't know someone. So in the same way, I think, you know, once, because being gay and people being openly gay has become so much part of culture, it's no longer something that, you know, people can, they can find themselves in that and they also aren't afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, are you saying that the gay stereotype that a lot of people clung on to in the 80s has kind of been smashed or broken apart?
Absolutely. And people are absolutely. I mean, you've met my dad. My dad's coming up to 70, he grew up in Ireland, he's very traditional Presbyterian, and, you know, like, he's very strong on family values. He wouldn't be homophobic in any way, but the fact that now most of the gay men that I'm friends with are in their 40s, are in long-term committed relationships, they've got children, they've got dogs, they've got properties, they're totally part of their families and society. You know, they're more like my dad than a lot of straight people are.
Okay.
You know?
What's your view on same-sex marriage and same love?
So it's not the, for me, it's not the same-sex thing. Like, I'm just a huge proponent of love. And as you know, I'm very in love with my man. I think he's awesome. And I think the thing is, like, being, I know, it's so soppy, isn't it?
Oh, I'm not really sure of what the Joy 94.9 policy is on overt heterosexuality on the airwaves.
Oh,
either,
I can give you more.
Oh, no, no. Oh, no, it's fine.
Okay, that's enough.
But, yeah, you know, like, I think there's nothing for any human or even any creature, really, there's nothing more important and nothing more that humanity wants than to love and to be loved. And it's a really rare and precious thing. So why on earth would we get in the way of it when people find it? And if they're gay or straight or anything, I think just get out of the way and let people enjoy it.
Oh, my God. I think Chris O has found his twin.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure you guys
have. This is why I love her.
Exactly the same belief right there.
Like, it's not about, you know, some kind of, you know, being right on and having correct political views. Like, I just think love's a great thing, and
you can't put love in a box. Love is such a big emotion that it can't be put into a circle box. I mean, a square box. It can't be put into it, because everybody's definition and their feelings are very much their own. So, again, you know, you can't.
And, you know, like, I think the greatest thing, like, in 20 years ago, it became okay to say you were gay. And I think the greatest thing in the last 5 years is to just say, I'm in love with someone. You don't have to jump off a cliff and say, I'm leaving the straight community, I'm going to go and be gay or whatever. It's just like, no, I found someone I'm in love with. The girl Anna, that's the vampire fairy in True Blood, the actress. Like, I love it when she's interviewed and someone will clumsily ask her about, like, being bisexual or is she a lesbian? And she's just like, oh, I just fall in love.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree. I think that's very important.
That was never made a big issue with her either. Like, it was like, oh, you know, I'm dating this person or I'm dating this person and happens to be a female. So it's great.
I really think the key to, having a really accepting community is starting within yourself as well. So being able to break out of those stereotypes, it takes, you know, love of yourself as well, and looking after yourself and setting an example to other people that, you know, that you should love yourself. And that kind of leads me on to my next question, Miss Hamilton, which is...
Yes, Mr. Winchell.
If you had the chance to send yourself send a message back to the 12-year-old Rosemary Hamilton, what would it say?
Look, definitely the thing that I would say is everything's going to be okay. It's something that really only in the last couple of years, as I've gotten a little bit older, I've definitely, you know, like, as you know, I am drawn to having a full blood conniption. It's often where I succeed. You know, like I'll have these massive bursts of success where I've suddenly just been really super stressed about something, whether it's in my personal life, my relationship life, my work life, whatever. And I get really, really super stressed. And, you know, it's the end of the world is coming. And when you're that stressed or concerned about something, you make bad decisions, you act from fear, you get yourself into a bigger mess, it all becomes overwhelming. So I really try and make a practice for myself of actually saying, it's all going to be okay, and really thinking that. And if I could go back a couple of decades and sit down with the teenage me, I would just say, that's the thing to remember, that it really is going to be okay.
I love it. Oh, Rosemary, I think we've kind of hit a bit of a break in our time at the moment. So for you guys that have just tuned in, we're speaking with the delightful Rosemary Hamilton about her life on Purple Speech on Joy 94.9. We'll be back shortly after these messages.
Hello, this is Margaret Cho, and you're tuned in to Joy 94.9 and listening via the Joy app.
And you've also got in the studio this evening the lovely Michael James, Chris O, and myself, John P. Wintle.
Hello.
Joined by our lovely guest who's smirking and having a giggle behind her hand. It's very unprofessional, Rosemary. But
I'm not thinking you'd be surprised by that.
Rosemary Hamilton, who I would be lying if I said she wasn't having a small chair dance at the aqua that we were playing just then. Yes, so welcome back. Rosemary, we've been speaking with you this evening on Purple Speech on Joy 94.9 about your life. Ooh. And the joy that it is. And I believe that we're just about to get on quite a interesting question. Well, not that all the others were not interesting, but this is like a bit of a hard-hitting question. So, Rosemary, can you tell me, have you ever suffered from depression or supported someone through depression?
Well, yes. I grew up, my mother has a mental illness, who obviously I grew up with. So, yes.
Yep.
Probably because of that, I've been drawn to a lot of friends who also have mental illnesses and taken care of them. And as you would know, John, a very, very dear friend of mine died this winter. And, you know, after that, I had a little phase of being really dark and fragile. And, you know, I wouldn't be saying I had depression, but I think that's probably where we all get afraid. It's like, would you say you had depression? Oh, God, no. What if people think that was an awful thing? But no, absolutely. There was a few weeks where getting up and getting dressed, I think, you know, there were a couple of days when I text messaged you going, yay, got dressed. It's like, yay, good job me. And that's pretty much all that was going to happen that day. And I think it's really good to be able to say to your friends, look, you know, I'm having a moment. I'm pretty good most of the time, but I've had a little fall over. Someone died. It's a really normal reaction to stress, upset, grief. But rather than soldiering on, being able to alert your friends to what's going on, not like you're sooking, but hey, this is what's going on. Please don't put too much pressure on me right now. And then you come through it and you can be there for your friends when they need you.
Yeah, and I guess from what you were saying as well, like set yourself small goals. Like even if it's just to get dressed for a whole day, then like that's, if that's what you can do and you've achieved it, then that's a good thing. Like set yourself that goal just to try and get yourself through.
And, you know, I think that's one of the things for people caring with someone who's got a mental illness is often, you know, you look at the big picture of what you might perceive is wrong with their life and you want them to fix it. And then you go in and you're like, can you do this, this and this and this? And the person that's got the mental illness or depression is so overwhelmed by that. It's much more helpful if you can to be like, can we do this today? And would you be able to do this week? And just have people have success in what they're doing.
Oh, I love that. That is such a gentle way, such a beautiful way to handle that situation as well. Now look, a trick question. Rosemary Hamilton, can you tell me, what do you do for a living?
Well, other than being my full-time fagbangle role with John Wintle, it's one of those jobs that no one really knows what it is that you do, which is why John loves to ask me this question.
You're like the Adina of Absolutely Fabulous. Like, you seem to earn money and things, you kind of move your hands and
I do
money comes in.
And publicity, and, you know, that often means, I mainly do it in the fashion and music world. At the moment, I'm working on the Aria Week event for Universal. So I'm planning a lot of stuff around that.
Cool.
It is kind of cool. I'm probably too old to be this cool. Someone's going to figure it out soon. More Botox.
Oh, oh, I love Botox.
Oh, goodness.
So do I. Do you like what I got done?
Oh, I think, MJ, I think we have to separate these two.
Think we.
Our mistake was
we should have a Botox party.
We should.
Yeah.
Oh, going back to what you do for a living, because I think that's more important. You work with a lot of celebrities. You've seen a lot of. You work with a lot of high-end industry people. Do you see a lot of bullying or any issues with gay-themed issues there?
Given I work in fashion and music, they're probably the two places where.
You will.
It's actually probably a draw card if you can say you're gay in the fashion world. Like, that's hardly, like, there's so many people. But what I actually really do notice in our industry, particularly the fashion industry on shoots, like I produce shoots, I often see this whole mentality of, you know, I was an assistant and I worked for 53 years and I had to walk their dog in the rain, and so it's good for you. That's how you get your break. And it's like, really? Did you really learn something from walking someone's... Like, people can kind of... I guess it's a classic thing of the bully becomes the bullier. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people are quite ungracious in the way they treat their assistants. But then you get the people who are absolutely fabulous with their assistants. Like, there's a makeup artist, woman called Ray Morris, and people who go and work with her have this wonderful nurturing experience. So it absolutely can be done.
Yeah. With the Melbourne Cup tomorrow, we are obviously in Melbourne focusing on that. Do you have any, I suppose, expectations, or are you working with anyone tomorrow, or have...
This is my first Melbourne Cup when I'm not working.
Are you excited to...
Well, that's my first one not working in my 10 years in Australia.
Oh, wow.
So generally, like...
I'm so happy. I'm normally doing like a luncheon and fending off some junk lady who's lost her fascinator at 3 o'clock and wants to make it my problem.
So how big would you say fashion is for the Melbourne Cup? Is it such a big focus?
I have to remember that I'm on air. Say something nice. Look, I think when it's done well, it's done very, very well. There's a girlfriend of mine, Airdrie, she's a Melbourne stylist. She made the comment on Saturday that if you would wear it to a nightclub, you should not wear it to the races.
Thank you.
So what's appropriate race attire for women?
You know, again, this is my personal taste. I'm not saying that people who want to dress up and go out wearing something glitzy, knock yourselves out. But I think the races are something different because you can go and be pretty. Like, you can get your kit off and wear almost nothing and go to Ibiza or go to a nightclub on a Saturday night. But if you're going to the races or you're going to a wedding, why wouldn't you wear a beautiful tea dress and a matching handbag and, like, get to be girly?
Yeah.
John?
And I was going
to
say...
Well, that applies to the guys as well, true. If you want to wear a dress. True.
Well, if you want to
wear... We don't discriminate anything. Here on Purple Speech.
If you're a guy and, you know, you want to fill out, like, even the masculine role of wearing, you know, a suit or whatever, then bloody go for it. Don't just sit back and let the women steal the limelight.
And I think it's like that, the prettiness... Like, I love, and there are some Australian brands that do that so well. Like, we have some great labels that really do that. A little bit romantic, a little bit old world. And you can't do that in a nightclub. So why wouldn't you go for that for Melbourne Cup?
I think that's so true. I mean, even for the guys, you know, don't be afraid to put a suit on or a tux.
Girls and boys do love a man in a suit.
Yes,
very true.
That is very true.
That's about 80% of the reason I'm actually going. I don't care for horses, but men in suits, I'm there.
Yeah, that's now you're selling it.
Well, definitely. Okay, yeah. Well, if you are dressing up tomorrow, I know for the guys, the metallic suits are definitely in at the moment. But, you know, wear a pink suit if you want.
I'm wearing a blue floral tie.
Please take photos.
And look, I love that. You know, like, isn't that great? Like, people... Often guys think that they've got to go in this sort of the one suit that would do them a funeral, a court appearance.
But well, the guy that I bought the suit and the blue polka dot shirt from, he was like, you know, you could potentially wear this depending on how confident you are. I'm like, well, I'm wearing a black suit. I want some colour.
Absolutely.
And for him to actually have to ask the question, oh, you know, if you're confident, you can wear this.
Yeah.
It's more so, here, wear this. Yeah, like, you'll look great. So.
And great accessories, like great shoes, like do something funky, put a kerchief in. Because girls notice these things, so I expect boys do too.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Wow. Or less thereof.
Yeah, well.
MJ.
So
thank
I'm just
you
taking over your interview there, John.
So,
just handball it back.
I see it's almost 8:39 in the evening or 20
minutes. It is 21 minutes past, and you are listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9.
And look, I see we might have got a couple of messages coming in there.
Oh,
Michael.
We do, John. We did indeed. From Mark Whiting, of course. Mark, thank you again for writing in, as you do each and every week. Mark has written in, it's more personal for you, John. Okay. He says, hello, guys. It's good to hear your wonderful, sexy voices. I've forgotten both your names, but it's good to hear you guys again. Of course, you're listening to John, P. Wintle, Chriso, and Michael James here on Purple Speech on Joy 94.9. I'm glad you guys weren't picked up by the so-called mainstream radio stations that would tell you not to mention anything or do about being gay. Oh, is that John Smith who started speaking after Lovely's song? Well, it was John P. Wintle that you heard. Wow, what a nice, soothing, sexy voice. And he is the other one. Oh, and so is the other one who's just as sexy sounding. I think that's you, Chriso.
Could be you, Michael.
You got a sexy voice there, Chriso. Well, up here, we're getting ready for the so-called G20 summit, just under about a mile and a half away from the red restricted zone. Mark talks about, as for school bullies, their behavior when others are trying to deal with a sexuality that's not so-called normal, i.e. heterosexual, but then again, I'm so glad that I'm gay queer. Mark from sunny Brisbane. Thank you, Mark, for writing in as you do every week. We really do enjoy your emails.
Oh, I know, right? That's very cool. And being an ex-Brisbanian, I completely relate with this whole red zone and everything being locked down. It's very inconvenient. That's all I can say. Now, Michael James.
Of course, if you want to write to us, you can on airatjoy.org.au. You've still got time. Let us know if you have a fag hag, a fag stag, or if you're going to the races, let us know.
Of course, coming up in our next segment, we will be covering the very heated topic of fag hags, bangles and stags.
And stags.
And all stags.
All accessories.
And, all the other non-PC words that we might be bringing up.
Of course, Rosemary, you're going to stick around.
Sure.
Yay. We'd like to get your opinion on this.
Oh, gosh. Oh, good.
Stay tuned in because things are about to get interesting. You're listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
And you are listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9. Michael James, John P. Wintle and Chris O. And Rosemary still joining us live in the studio.
Hello.
Rosemary got an email.
Oh, I did.
You did.
How is that possible that Rosemary gets fan mail after being on there half an hour? We've been here for three seasons.
Two, John says two.
We actually don't know who you are, so please let us know. But this person writes in and says, hey guys, love tonight's show. Rosemary sounds like a wonderful person. I have a question for her. Rosemary, this is for you. How can I get a foot in the fashion and music industry here in Australia? I've worked in LA for a successful artist management company, but I find it hard to get work here in Melbourne for mystery person.
Wow, it's controversial. I'm going to say go and assist someone.
Assist.
This is whole thing of in Australia, you've got to know people. And I got here 10 years ago and didn't know anybody, and nobody wanted to know about my fabulous CV. I was like, what? Don't you know who I think I am? But you've got to know people. And especially as this young lady would know, or young gentleman would know, if you're on a shoot and you're there from 3 o'clock in the morning till maybe 7 o'clock at night, it's really about working with people you're comfortable with. So people are really loath to hire people they don't know. So I would be contacting people whose work you admire and offering to go and assist them. And I don't mean go and steal all their contacts, because they will find you and kill you. But, you know, go and make yourself invaluable and get known and, you know, call some of the good agencies, like Google. Again, the artists that you like their work, see which agencies they're repped with, contact those agencies and offer to go and work on shoots. You know, just get your name out there and do good work.
It's very good advice. Now, you said that, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Is that, in Australia, I know that it works that way, is it very much like that overseas as well, or is it different?
Look, I'm going to go with it's actually everywhere in every industry. I actually think people buy people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
And, you know, there's in every industry, there's a lot of examples of people who are fantastically talented and difficult to work with. So if you can be talented and absolutely awesome to be around, everybody's going to want to work with you.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's very true. Speaking of ag hacks, got some
information.
Wow.
Do you know that is the worst segue
that was really
in the history
worst.
Of ag hacks?
I do apologize for that. 47
minutes in and they're being rude to me. Like, really? The veneer has slipped.
Speaking of the industry, guys, we have some information to read out. Just for those who may not be in the know, we all have heard the term fag hags have all gone clubbing. It's used nearly everywhere.
I use it on a daily basis, and I know that it may not be politically correct, but...
And I think that's important too. I think we do need to acknowledge the fact that some people may get offended by the term fag hag, and of course we don't mean to offend anyone here on Purple Speech.
It's not the fag I object to, it's the hag. Like, really?
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of
and
people
that's what
are
people
like
agree
that.
With. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that, you know, when I say it as a term of endearment. You know, I guess I don't emphasize on the hag part as much, and that's why I use
because it's not being said to you.
True, but that's why again I use the term fag bangle. You know, because you know. Everybody has a favorite accessory, and you know they're my friends. So I.
But
guess,
then it's almost like saying that your friend is an accessory, as opposed to. Like something deeper and more meaningful than that. I mean, people would argue that.
Yeah, that's very true. I don't know.
So is there a correct term to use?
I don't think that there is. I don't like, I mean, I personally don't know if they're, you know, what we would use instead. I mean, you can use their name, but
friend. Has anyone like thought to
say
fag friend?
Friend?
No, like as in friend.
Just friend.
John calls me his strife.
Oh, strife. Yes, I do too.
And
that's
I call him
true.
My husband.
Yes, we...
Oh, that's cute.
So we
cute.
Say strife, straight wife and gay husband. So
that's not for your
husband.
Regular level fag hag.
But of course, you know, for the male community, they get the fag stag, which isn't as commonly known. Of course, shows such as Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, Queer as Folk and Will of Grace have used this. Just some information here. Fag stag was the name of the 2002 episode of the MTV series Undressed, which centered around a gay wedding. It was featured in magazines, and when the chief editor of one of the so-called magazines, which I'll get the information for, said, let's get one thing straight. They were talking with the chief editor of this particular magazine that used the term fag stag in their magazine. That magazine has nothing to do with gay. The chief editor was not gay, but it got a lot of attention. And from 2002, when it was used on MTV in that show, it got a lot of attention from that. But I think I've never heard of it until recently.
I've never heard of it.
So is it a fag stag? Is that like a...
Well, fag stag comes from the also term fruit fly. Which is also used for guys being called fruits.
Okay.
So it all dates back to when these stereotypes, and who knows when these stereotypes or who created them, but that's where it's come from, according to Wikipedia.
According to Wikipedia.
According to Wikipedia.
Okay, thank you for
and
citing
other sources.
Your source. I was just waiting for you to cite
and
your
other
source.
Sources. But I'm interested to know. I've never heard of I do have male straight friends that I use as support systems and that are there for supportive. Do you guys have any straight male friends?
Yes, I do.
I think
that have been there for you?
One.
I've got one.
I've got my gay best friend, but I mean, I've got my girl Sammy's husband, I would call my, you know, my straight male friend. But other than that, I don't really have a lot of other straight friends that I would feel comfortable, that I would even contemplate using that
term. As you say, feel comfortable with.
But calling them that term, like, I would never feel comfortable calling a straight person that.
Vice versa, fag hag, fag stag. It works both ways.
Yeah.
What about for gay women? What would it be called if they had like a straight male friend? Because I'm going to turn this on its head. I feel I need to turn this on its head.
Well, that's what I originally thought what a fag stag was before reading the information today, that it was a fag hag, but for
males.
Males for a lesbian. For a lesbian, like straight male and lesbian.
Okay.
And if you're not confused, let us know on hairandjoy.org.au.
Of course, you can send us a Facebook message, facebook.com/purplespeech. Let us know. Yeah. SMS.
You say it, John.
Go on. Stop talking over me. Stop it. You can also SMS us 0427JOY949. Stop giggling at Michael James.
Let us know how confused you are.
We are currently trying not to be confused about the topic of fag hag stags.
But I'll interrupt you one more time. Let me ask you again. Us being confused in the studio, is it because all the stereotype is confusing and, you know, none of it really makes sense?
Well,
is that why we're confused?
When I first read about this show, Michael, I thought that the two topics were a bit dissonant, where we're talking about, you know, equal love with Rosemary on one side, and now all of a sudden we're talking about fags, hags, fag stags. But now I'm thinking about it, there actually is a bit of harmony here, or disharmony, I should say. So the whole thing about equal love, love is love. You should, like, appreciate people for what they are. But when you talk about fag hags, fag stags, and all that, you're almost, like, putting these people into, like, a generalization. And it seems like it's almost revenge for them putting us into, like, our, you know, gay box, our lesbian box, and all of that.
I agree with that to an extent, but I also, you've got to stop and think as well. I mean, people like myself, I say it as a term of endearment, so I don't put a negative, I would never be negative about it, or put a negative spin on it. So I guess for people that I surround myself with that know the type of person that I am, I guess they would understand, you know, why I say what I say. But to strangers, it would be very different. You know, if I said, oh, this is my fag hag, and, you know, people that didn't really know me, would they,
you know? I think as, you know, as kind of a straight bridge, maybe, you know, as a straight person that's friends with a lot of people in the gay community, like we probably see ourselves as people who represent gay people to our straight people. So we're quite proud of our role, I think. Like most people who are, you know, been friends with gay people for 20 years, you know, some of our closest friends are, like, we're quite proud of that role we have in this community. And we're proud of being accepted. Like, you walk in, again, back in the late 80s, you could, going to a gay club, if you weren't gay, was considered really threatening. Okay, so even being let in the door was kind of like an acknowledgement of, you're not one of us, but you are. Yeah. So we're quite proud of that role, I think. So,
and you go through a lot what we go through as well, because we, in a way, vent and put almost, well, you know, go through emotional pressure.
You go through it with us, and you're there with us pretty much every step of the way. So,
oh God, yes.
Sorry. You know what,
it's one of those things that, all of the people out there, I need to say thank you for being, you know, a support system, because, I mean, I didn't have a lot of close friends growing up, and the girls that I was friends with, they were there through everything, and, you know, the girls that I've got that are friends now are still there through everything with me. And you've been through the tears, you've been through the highs and the lows and all that kind of jazz with us, so, you know, I could go on about this topic for days, because I think that, you know, the straight people in our community don't get enough attention in the sense of the word thank you, because you guys do go through a lot with us, and you're very important support networks, and I think that you guys, and you should be thanked. We should have, you know,
a big thank you.
A big thank you.
Gay people appreciate straight people day. That's every day at our house, isn't it, John?
Rosemary, thank you so much for talking with us tonight.
Thank you very much for having me.
We got a really good insight. We could keep talking for ages, but we are out of time, unfortunately. Next week, we have a bully special show, John, don't we?
Oh, my God. I can't believe
we have quite an exclusive here on Purple Speech.
I've been sitting on this gem for quite some time now, Michael James, and I would like to apologize to my listeners. Yes, I am sorry, guys, that I have sat on this googie egg for so... Don't you even laugh. Okay, I said googie egg. Deal with it, all right? I've sat on this googie egg for so long.
It's gone hard.
For the first time in my whole life, I am going to speak to my own bully. Is going to happen live next
live
week.
Live on air.
Well, it's not the Purple first speech. Time because you spoke when he was bullying you. For the first time in, like, 10 years.
Ruined the surprise there.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for, like, just taking the flame out of
thanks,
that.
Thanks, Rosemary. Oh, wait. No, but we are speaking to your... Is it your high school bully, John?
Yes, that's right. It's my...
Who bullied you for being gay.
Yes, that's
who
correct.
Who has now come out gay himself.
Correct. That
so
is exactly...
Going, and
exactly.
He's going to, well, not so much confess, but actually openly talk about it for the first time and, of course, live on air, as you do.
And this is going to give, hopefully, by me talking or us having this interview to myself and my bully, it might help someone else learn what we were going through at the time, maybe to help, you know, the victims and the bullies understand more about what was going through our minds at the time. So I hope, while this is going to make me feel very vulnerable, it's going to be, you know, it's definitely going to help some people out there.
You don't want to miss next week. That's all I can say.
Until
next week, if you like it wet, Sammy and the Wet Spot is coming up next. So stay tuned in to Joy 94.9. You have been listening to Purple Speech. Chris, John, until next week.
Bye, guys.
Adios, amigos.
Stay safe. You're listening to Pebble's Beach on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.